Technorama episode 502, C has no class.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
What a mess. I need some wax to buff out the asteroid marks.
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Hello and welcome to Technorama. This is a show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us, listening or watching. We have to change the template on this document sooner or later.
I was just thinking the same thing.
We've only been doing video for like 5 years. Seven years.
I was listening to the show in the car the other day, and I kept thinking, I wonder what the listener, if they're comfortable hearing this every time, or they're like, oh, it's the same format every time.
They're probably going right along with us if it's like a lot of other shows. You mouth along or you sing along with the words because it hasn't changed in a very long time. If right, you are returning, welcome back, hey, and mouthing hey, along with us at home.
Yeah.
Welcome to our Christmas show.
On a Christmas show.
It is Christmas. According to biblical scholars, Jesus was born in the spring. So I'm taking credit for that. It's part of the reason why the old Roman calendar used to start in March. So there.
Okay. Whatever.
I am Chuck Tomasi from sunny Phoenix, Arizona. I almost said funny Phoenix, Arizona, but that's okay.
What?
And joining me in the virtual binary studio is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm thoroughly confused by the words that you're using.
They are words. They're strung together, but they're not making sense.
Yeah.
It's a bit like autocorrect has infected my brain.
Hey, look, what is this, like reverse day or something?
Why is that?
Because you're not making any sense and I'm like the reasonable one tonight.
Oh, we'll see when we get to the history thing who makes sense. Also right. Joining us in the binary studio, special guest today, CJ.
Hey, what's up? Nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
The former Mighty Mommy herself.
Yes.
Now, you're still a mommy.
I am.
But
I'm still quite mighty. But
the
I'm not,
Mighty Mommy.
No, that was taken over by someone else.
Wonderful.
I was also, I did that Live Long and Prosper Star Trek thing for 7 years, but you know.
We needed a geek in the audience tonight, and she stepped up to meet the challenge.
I can always be a geek, anytime, anywhere. Geekery is my specialty.
Right.
Well, we're going to have fun tonight because we've got some awesome stuff coming up. Craig, I failed in the show notes. I need you to do me a favor real quick.
Sure, what?
Go look at our comments for last week's question of the week. If you could dress up as any cosplay for the rest of your life, what would it be? I remember some of the answers, but I don't remember. Yes, go to Facebook. I remember some of the answers, but I don't remember exactly who said what.
I was reading.
Who said
them,
what?
I don't remember any of them.
Well, ask CJ. CJ, why don't you answer while I'm looking this up?
What would I want to...
If you could cosplay as anybody, anything for the rest of your life and you had to stay just that costume.
And I've only ever done one actual cosplay, so I'd probably choose that one because it was pretty comfy. I wore it all day, and that was Kimmy Schmidt.
All right.
And she's bright colored and except for the sweater thing. She had like a sweater and I live in Arizona, so that...
Not in the summer.
But you could, you know,
right.
Always remove that, I guess, and just be... She had like butterflies and bright colors and she was super tacky and either that or maybe Ramona Flowers. Like, I could do that because I got the pink hair and I love to roller skate, so, I mean... I think
you should have brought your skates. We could have gone like around the neighborhood or something.
No, I was out dancing last night, so I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good. Good. I got all my exercise.
Did you find it, Craig? Last night.
I was going to say Chuck's pool was empty the other week. Maybe you could have just skated around his pool.
No, it was jackhammered. It wasn't smooth. It was all bumpy lumpy.
Hey, but there was a point when it was smooth with no water, right?
There it was, yes.
Okay.
I don't think that's the kind of skating I would be safe doing.
No. What'd you find?
Okay, so under the question of the week, Robert Maines said Ghostbusters. He says they seem more practical every for everyday wear.
You guys know that's okay. Vanamond. That's Vanamond. He was on the show with me last time I was here.
Oh, yes.
Remember the guy with the accent?
Van.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Vanamond.
Yes.
Love that guy.
Paul Pearson says James Bond. Okay.
Yeah.
I guess that's too practical.
Well, no, we had a little sidebar discussion on that if you drill into the comments.
Yeah, you said bow ties are cool.
Right.
And then he says, and Roger Moore's sweet safari jacket.
He was thinking more a different theme era. On the James Bond thing. I was thinking more of the ties and tails formal wear, which I would totally do.
Well, every time I think of James Bond, I think, you know, he's dressing up, he's going somewhere and acting cool. I don't know.
Right. He just strips off the wetsuit and he's wearing a tux underneath.
Right.
That's what and I Nicholas, would do.
Yeah. And Nicholas Sam Gabriel says, Iron Man, who's going to mess with me at that point?
That would be tough to like find a seat on an airplane or something. Well, I guess if you're Iron Man, you wouldn't have to take an airplane.
Yeah, that's true.
How about you, so Craig? What's your answer?
Well, so far it's been Fry or Men in Black. I don't
know. it doesn't have to be something you've already done.
I know.
Fry would be a comfortable one, although.
I don't know. Some weeks I feel like I should just be I'm Charlie Brown the whole time. I don't know. So I'll just get the striped shirt and call it a day.
I got a rock.
Yeah. Way I feel sometimes. I get a rock.
Fun stuff. We will have another question for you at the end of the show. And if you miss it, you're not watching live or you didn't quite catch it on YouTube or in the show notes, we will post it on Facebook if I'm doing my job right Wednesday or Thursday so that we can get some consensus for next week's show.
Oh, all right. Hold on a second. One quick one. John Miller says he would be Samuel Jackson.
just in general.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have a Samuel L. Jackson audio clip with me. I have a ton of them, but I don't have any with me at the moment.
He did say it would be complete with endless F-bombs.
That's right. The profanity filter is off at that point.
See, I was thinking of John should be more like Frozone, but that's okay.
All another right. Samuel Jackson grab your character. D20. It's that time of the show.
Oh, yeah. Hold on.
We're going to roll to see what order we go in because... CJ, I've been accused of putting these in an order, which is advantageous to certain parties of this audience, and this eliminates that randomness.
Okay.
And fake news.
Oh boy, I'm definitely going last.
Am I supposed to say what I got?
Yep.
I got a 19.
Oh.
I don't know what that
Craig?
Means.
I got a 3.
I got a 2.
I roll better than you did.
CJ goes first.
Okay, so how much of that do I read?
So I will start out with this is the 81st day, and then you get the first bullet point, and we're just going to go around the table.
All right, rotating bullet points.
Bullet points. It's like a PowerPoint that's gone horribly wrong.
Okay.
Or roulette, or Russian roulette.
Am I going to do it in any special voices?
Russian roulette. On this day in history for March 22nd, 2017, it's because we're live on Sunday night, but this goes out on audio form in the podcast on Wednesday. This is the 81st day of the Gregorian calendar. There are 284 days remaining in 2017.
It was on this date in 1508 that Ferdinand II of Aragon commissions Amerigo Vespucci, chief navigator of the Spanish Empire.
Wow, she did awesome.
Nailed it. And that same date in 1630, the Massachusetts Bay Colony outlaws the possession of cards, dice, and gaming tables. Wait a minute, I was just thinking about my dice here.
Yeah, we're breaking the law.
Yeah. This is
a rebellious podcast. I don't know if that repeal, that law was ever repealed or it's still on the table somewhere.
Hey, a good thing we're not there.
39 years ago today, Carl Wallenda of the Flying Wallendas dies after falling. I guess he wasn't flying very well that day. Off a tightrope between two hotels in San Juan, Puerto Rico.
NASA Space Shuttle Columbia has launched from the Kennedy Space Center on its third mission, STS-3, on this date in 1982.
On March 22nd, 1993, the Intel Corporation shipped its first Pentium chips, the 8586, featuring a 60 megahertz clock speed, 100 plus MIPS, and... a 64-bit data path.
Well, it had one thing going for it. That was the one that we're in, as hot as a toaster. And they didn't call them the 586 for
long. Oh, yeah. Oh, I've burned my finger on those things.
They had to downgrade the clock to the 50 megahertz version until they got it working. And then they went up to 75, but I'm waxing poetically now.
Yes, yes.
Also on March 26, 1995, cosmonaut, here we go, Valery Polyakov returns to Earth after setting a record of 438 days in space. On with the birthdays where it gets fun.
Wow.
All right, do we just keep going like that? Happy birthday goes out on this date, too. I have no idea how to say this, so I'm going to have fun. Persian astronomer and mathematician Ulugh Beg, born on this date in 1394.
Sound like he got punched in the gut.
It's kind of like
thinking,
what it looks
like. Do
you
need the Heimlich?
I just wanted to say Ulugh Beg. There you go.
And born March 22nd, 1785, English scientist Adam Sedgwick.
Chico Marx, American actor, was born on this same date in 1887. Wow.
American cartoonist Bill Holman was born 114 years ago today.
And born March 22nd, 1912, American actor Carl Malden.
I think his nose is somewhere in a museum somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this next one by mime. It's Marcel Marceau, the French mime and actor, was born 94 years ago today. Thank you for being trapped in a box.
Yes, and Russian colonel, pilot, and engineer Yevgeny Astashev. Yevgeny Astashev.
Pretty good. That
was born 93 years ago today.
And also born on the same date, 1931, Canadian actor William Shatner.
That sounded more like George Costanza.
I think.
William, yeah, that was bad. I was bad. I'm just gonna say it. You're the worst. The worst.
I'm the worst.
Yeah, you get this, man.
It did sound more like George Costanza.
Turning 86 today is American physicist and academic Nobel Prize laureate Burton Richter.
Is it my turn?
Yes.
I lost my. I was still like, oh, I didn't get to do Shatner.
She's still stunned over the Shatner.
American mathematician, computer scientist, and author Rudy Rucker, born on this date in 1946.
English director and composer Android Lloyd Webber is 69 today.
Don't start singing Phantom of the Opera or something. Also born on the same date in 1948, American journalist Wolf Blitzer, coolest war correspondent name ever.
Aw. And one of our favorite blondes, American actress and producer Reese Witherspoon, is 41 today. She's just a baby.
You know, by standards, this wasn't a bad lineup of names. We just had a couple that tripped us up and a bad impersonation.
Yeah.
Ulugh.
Listener birthdays. Some of these stolen from Facebook. Some of them stolen from our wiki. March 22nd is Michael Slobodnik, one of our co-workers of Craig and me. Andrew Godot, friend of the family. Actually, Sam Roberts' brother-in-law, whom we just socialized with last weekend, is 23rd. Also on the 23rd, Doug Kay from the Conversations Network, longtime podcaster. And yes. Steve Rickyberg, also longtime friend of the show and podcaster on the 23rd. Rounding out the 23rd for the fourth birthday, Richard Parkman. And Nicholas St. Gabriel, who we heard from earlier. What did he want to dress up as? Iron Man.
Iron Man,
Mr.
Yeah.
Iron Man himself is on the 25th. The 26th has three birthdays. My nephew, Travis, who will be 24. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Wow. This man's getting old.
Okay, I'm trying he's having to a moment. Give Chuck a moment.
I was just about that age when he was born. Okay, we'll go with that. It's also my birthday because I was born on the same day.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yay.
And then next Sunday is also the late, great Leonard Nimoy, whom is probably turned over in his grave with your Shatner impersonation. I'm not going to let that go.
What are you talking about?
26.
Stop.
Brina Baird in Hampton, Virginia, and the man who taught my first computer course in high school, Mr. Dick Balding, is on the 28th. If you want to get on the Technorama birthday calendar, go over to our wiki at chuckchat.com/wiki, because that's the way it was on this day in history for March 22nd, 2017.
There we go.
Oh, wrong button. I need a news. Is it good news this time? It is.
Whatever news. Whatever news, everybody.
Okay, news and weather.
News and weather, everyone.
Well, we knew this was coming eventually because it's been discussed for a very, very long time. The Monopoly pieces have been rejiggered and refigured. And, well, we have a new and exciting Monopoly piece. If this article would finally pull up its article.
Somebody should have opened the articles first.
Someone should have opened the articles first. This machine needs a serious upgrade. The short answer is the internet has chosen a T-Rex as one of the new Monopoly tokens. I believe the other one is a penguin. And what was the other one? There's another
rubber
picture.
Duck.
The rubber ducky. And out goes
you may read it?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Asking the internet to pick something for you can go horribly awry.
Awry.
Just ask. Array. 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 Array.
Awkward.
Yeah. Awkward. That's
wrong.
A better word.
I think the word is wrong.
Yeah. Just ask Bodie McBoatface.
Next time I see Bodie McBoatface, I'm going to be all up in his junk asking him about the Monopoly stuff.
Right. So when board game maker Hasbro asked for suggestions to update the Monopoly game pieces, it's likely you didn't expect the hive mind would pick a trio of, well, rather tame tokens to update the capitalism training simulator. Starting this fall, you'll be able to do the boardwalk to Mediterranean Avenue loop as a penguin, rubber duck, or the fearsome T-Rex.
It was rubber ducky.
Bang a gong. Get it
that's
on.
Right.
Get
it. The Associated Report Press reports that some 4.3 million votes were cast in the process, with 207,954 second place going to the king of the thunder lizards.
You know, I'm surprised with the whole Bodie McBoatface debacle. If the internet can game the system in that way, why didn't we end up? I would have laughed really hard if it was penguin, rubber ducky, and poop emoji.
Oh my gosh.
That would have been, you know, every 6-year-old kid would have gone for that first. Right? Hey, let's play Monopoly. Boop!
I get the poop! Boop. I get the poop! Yeah.
No.
As a mighty mommy herself.
I've had enough poop in my life. I'm good. No more poop. My kids are no longer... I don't have to enjoy that anymore from them. So they're all grown up now.
You know what? I can feel your pain. I have 7 cats.
He's now on his way to being a crazy cat lady.
He got the specialty box, like starter kit. It sounds like
starter kit.
I
like the T-Rex. I'm gonna say I like the T-Rex. I hope they're not gold because I don't like. I like the silver better.
Yeah, what's up with the gold color on these things?
I can't imagine them be gold unless it's just some special edition Monopoly piece.
If it was gold, then let's go with like the Oscar award.
I like literally only have 2 Monopoly games, and they don't have. I mean, I have the Powerpuff Girl Monopoly game, and I have the World of Warcraft Monopoly game. So I don't even know if I have a regular one with the regular tokens. But I think that I'm wondering how much of a collector's item those tokens will become now.
Our games used to get a little abused or used over the years. So I don't even know what the original Monopoly pieces were, because ours were like a bottle cap, a bent bottle cap.
Oh, you already had this this contest at your house then.
A piece from another game like,
I was gonna say, like
Sorry or Parcheesi or something.
Life.
A little green fake Life. Man. Right. A little car from Life.
One of those
filled with the little
flattened marbles from Mancala, that even though we didn't have the Mancala game. Right.
Or a die. You could just use a die. Lots of those, right? Because we're all gamers.
I'm actually okay with these pieces. This isn't too bad. When I first read this article, my first thought was, just like Chuck was going to the poop emoji, I was thinking of that bin at Walmart with all them emoticon pillows. I was like, just like, we need that in there.
Get the one, a pillow with one of those angry faces.
Or the one crying with the stream of tears coming out.
Because everybody wants a pillow with tears on it.
Yeah. I already have one of those every night. I'm good.
I'm glad
I don't need any help with that.
Glad you picked that up.
Now I just want to give you a hug.
We are now officially in sync on this end. Thank you.
I just want to clarify, I always chose the horse guy. And that was the Monopoly piece I always played with. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, the
trophy? The horse?
It was
that
the
was
horse on the rearing horse.
Yeah.
I'm not going to.
We called it the trophy.
Interesting.
It was one of the hottest pieces.
I called it the horse.
It could have been dedicated to some general. No, if there was a person on it, then it would be like a war memorial.
I don't know. It was the tallest one. I wanted to be the tall one.
I'd get trivial about war memorials at this point, but I'm not going to. We're going to go into the next article. Since we were talking about babies a little while ago, let's go into the next one, because you can now get a three-parent baby. That almost sounds like something off of, what was that, The Visitor show with the aliens? Alienation.
Oh, I remember that.
Hey, have you
They had to have a fertility clinic in Newcastle was just granted permission to start performing what's known as a three-parent baby technique, a controversial in vitro fertilization procedure that prevents genetic disease from being passed on to children by giving them three genetic, quote, parents. The technique relies on DNA from the mother, father, any female donor in order to keep the mom from passing on mitochondrial diseases. Mitochondrial DNA is made up of just 37 genes and can only be passed on to a child by its mother. So by replacing that tiny bit of genetic code via the in vitro fertilization, it's possible to save the baby from a deadly disorder that would otherwise they would otherwise definitely inherit. Now that sounds good on the surface, but in December, UK's Human Fertilization and Embryology Authority approved the technique for safe and clinical use. And on Thursday, it issues its first license for the procedure to the Newcastle Fertility Center.
That was quick.
The clinic's first three-parent babies could be born as early as next year, being 2018 as we record this. In the U.S., lawmakers have blocked the technology, however, but it's actually not a new approach to weeding out problematic genes from future children. Because in the 1990s, several babies were born with genetic material from three parents using a different technique. Some of them, though, developed unexpected genetic disorders, and the technology was never approved. Kind of like your first demo of your software crashing, and then they cancel the project. Right. Like, wait, I can fix it. Those children have caused critics to object to the three parents baby for safety reasons, arguing that scientists should not be experimenting on what they view as a potential human life. The technology has also led to fears that tinkering with the genetic makeup of embryos will down the line lead to the dreaded designer babies.
I'm going to tell you, that sounds like a recipe for disaster, to be honest with you.
How so? I mean, the underlying, what's it called, intent is good. We want to find and replace the parts of the DNA that could cause, you know, maybe you can detect if they're going to be predisposed to cancer. Little copy, splice, paste, and there you go. No more cancer in that baby. You still have the same person. You just took out that part that's predisposed to deadly diseases.
Well, one, I think when you start playing God a little bit.
We've been playing God with babies for a long time. In vitro fertilization is playing God.
But, okay, I'm not going to get in that conversation too deep. But yes, I think that that's a big, could be a problem. I can see this as a legal thing when somebody goes, you know, the three parents break up. I don't know. legally. And think of the confusion of the child, man.
What?
The computer. Mom, can I borrow $10? Go ask your dad. Dad, can I have $10? Go ask your mom. Already did. Go ask your other mom or other dad. You know?
It's not funny. It's one of those bad puns that I knew was coming, but he's going to say it anyway.
What?
CJ, thoughts, commentary?
I'm trying to remember the name of a book I read that was about a utopian society, and I can't remember what it was called, but that's what they were doing, is they were breeding children to be perfect. And I was trying to do like a little search trying to remember, because I thought it was Utopia by Asimov, but I don't think that's what it was. It was something else.
That's what this kind of brings up, is just like, where's the line? Where's the line? I mean, designer babies, we don't want to go there. Right, because then everybody goes, I want blonde hair, blue eye, or, you know, I want this, 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 and this. And, you know, we're not ordering fast food here. We're creating a life. And that also gets into the whole biodiversity thing. If we're picking the same traits and characteristics over and over, what do you do when there's a mutation? You know, what do you do when, I mean, that's how we survive. If you don't have that diversity, then a disease could come along and wipe out a third of the population because, everybody liked that feature. It was the hot thing for 25 years.
Look, it worked well for Krypton.
What?
Did you not watch Superman, the beginning? They weren't having babies?
Which version?
Well, there's actually lots of science fiction, I mean, surrounding that whole topic of like creating the perfect, you know, beings and then weeding out the ones that aren't good. I just can't think of titles right now. But I mean, even like when I look at the Divergent series that's out right now, and how if you don't fit in, you know, if you're Divergent, you don't fit into the society or whatever, you have to be done away with. And like all of those types of stories and things like that have always fascinated me, but I've never wanted it to be a reality. But it's not to say that it couldn't be done in a way that would work, but I think that the designer baby thing is inevitable once you give people that opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
I think that's what scares me. I don't think it's immediate, but I think that eventually...
Or a black market starts to pop out that, okay, well, if we can go this far, if I pay this, you know, crooked scientist a little bit more, I can have a designer baby.
Yeah, especially in a society where everybody is so particular about what they want and what they think everyone should be like. And, you know, what's perfect for one person may not be perfect for another, too. So there's all kinds of, it's a really cool thing. I love science. I think science is fascinating and wonderful and all the great things that we can do. But I think that there's also like, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. Yeah. I think ultimately, I'm just going to put it as that.
Now we're into Spider-Man.
We are going to throw pop culture references all night.
That's all I know how to do. Yeah. I'm sorry.
You're on the right show.
I do want to say, I think you're taking the randomness out of that biodiversity like you were talking about, Chuck.
Yeah, it potentially could be a very, very dangerous thing from a scientific standpoint of the human race.
Hey, and you can see when people thought, oh, these are the perfect traits for a race, you can see how well that worked in the past.
yeah, eugenics. It's a wonderful thing. Not.
Mumble.
Let's take a break. We're going to come back with the Hacks and Strange
Stories. That's some heavy discussion here.
Yeah, this isn't for this show. This is where we take a break and come back with the silly stuff.
Look, CJ, this is how we do it. We got to pace ourselves. Okay. We can't just jump into this heavy stuff right away.
A little bit of, should we save it to the end? No, then we'll just be.
I would like to stick with silly all of the time. Thank you.
Okay,
very much.
More silly stuff on Technorama. We'll be right back with the Hacks and Strange Stories and something for the Geek Library. Hang on. I mean, we'll be right back.
This is Bob. Before, Bob relied on the internet to enhance his geek status. After using Technorama for natural geek enhancement, Bob is rolling his 20-sided die, reciting Holy Grail lines, and answering Star Trek trivia with the best of them. And he has a happy missus at the home, too. Technorama for natural geek enhancement. Only available at chuckchat.com.
Hi, this is Edward James Olmos, Battlestar Commander Adama, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama. Don't forget, frack off.
Everyone has a belly button.
Except for the ones that were designed.
No, that's the ones that were grown in a dish. Designer babies would still be born. It's the Matrix you have to watch out for.
Yeah, would they? I don't know.
Would they? All right, on with the sillier stuff. If it's not silly, then it's sillier for us. This title is misleading. It says the first 3D printed cheese was as bizarre as you'd expect.
Okay, Google, make me a grilled cheese sandwich.
Poof, you're a grilled cheese sandwich.
Nailed. She can keep up. Yep. Would you like to read the story about the cheese, CJ?
Sure, I'll go ahead and do that. Imagine a future in which humans can produce a vast variety of foods with all sorts of textures and shapes at the flick of a switch. Just throw a mix into your 3D printer and presto, gooey gorgonzola globules, crunchy candy cubes. Incredible.
Designer sandwiches.
I really love cheese. I think I should... Thank you for letting me read this. The future is not quite here yet. That's a lot of eyes, but it could be close. Scientists at the University College Cork
Yep.
In Ireland, wondered how the 3D printing process might change the properties of an American classic processed cheese. The end product was substantially different from the cheese they put in, but this was likely the first time anyone had tried something like this. I mean, they put the cheese in, and then the cheese came out. I don't really understand why that's necessary if it's already cheese. Like, I would just put it in my mouth. Yeah, to the author's knowledge, no studies have focused upon the impact of additive manufacturing methodologies on the structural properties of dairy products. The authors write in study published. Is it the way I'm reading? What's up?
Where do you get grants like this to study cheese? I want to know.
The Journal of Engineering apparently published something about it. I don't know. Scientists put cheese into a 3D printer. That just seems like a waste of cheese.
Well, they didn't see the article says the first 3D printed cheese. It was a something printed with 3D cheese.
Yeah.
Didn't print the cheese.
Yeah.
I expected it to go and they have this wedge of cheese.
There's like a gun thing like that I've been thinking about, and it warms your cheese and then you like can squirt it out and like build you get like pretzels and you can make little log cabins out of pretzels cheese.
I'm sorry, that sounds like a euphemism.
I was thinking more.
I'm
of
a
the,
walking
the,
you euphemism. Know, the it's warm just lather. Who I am. But like, it just seems so pointless to me because then you have a log cabin made of cheese and pretzels, and you just have to lick all the cheese out of it because it's just like a waste. Like again, you could just squirt the cheese.
Those
right
were
into...
Chuck Berry's original lyrics, but he had to change them. He lived in a log cabin made of cheese and pretzels. No. Go with earth and wood, and we'll call him Johnny B. Good.
Do you want me to finish reading this? I'm just curious.
As much as you can take.
You want me to just keep talking about how I wanted to eat the cheese? So, okay, there are several ways 3D printers print things, including mixing some fine powder and a binding agent, or by squirting a melted raw product like Easy Cheese out of a nozzle to build up the structure. You can imagine which method they used with processed cheese. I'm going to guess that's a nozzle. The researchers started with a RepRap Pro Ormerod 1 printer, retrofitting it with a custom syringe to handle cheese instead of plastic. They first analyzed melted and unmelted processed cheeses to compare their 3D printed final products to later. What, did I read that wrong, or is that just a poorly written sentence?
No, I'm surprised. Come back to 3D printer final products to later. Yeah, no, some of these are written very oddly.
I'm going to call Grammar Girl. Then they put the cheese into their custom nozzle. It to 75 degrees Celsius for 12 minutes.
That's some hot cheese.
Hot cheese. After modeling their end product in design and drafting software, they extruded the cheese at slow, that's 4 millimeters per minute, and fast, 12 milliliters per minute rates. They tried printing cylinders, which ended up looking more like a sloppy circular mess. Now, there's your euphemism. The mascarpone bear was cute, though.
And the latest upgrade of software now supports animated GIFs. So I'm really happy to say we can show you a short animated clip of that bear being printed.
Oh, it does? Okay.
Yeah. It didn't used to support animated images, but yep. Mm-mm. Cheese bear.
You know, I went to a 3D printer company, and I was they were giving me the tour, and
giving you the business.
Yeah, giving you the business. No, so one of the things I asked him was, what about foods? He said, well, at the time, you know, he's like, I can't really talk about it too much, but we are looking into that. I was like, okay. So I kept thinking about how would you print a pizza? And then I kept, kind of like you said, the ingredients would already be in the thing. To make the thing, it's like the cheese. It's already kind of cheese when it comes out of the nozzle. It's like
eat it. I have this. So in my imagination, I would if you're gonna put the cheese in the top, right, and it's gonna squirt out the little bottom thing. Then all I want is like a conveyor belt of crackers, and just squeeze onto the crackers, and then that way I can just eat them.
Party snacks for you. Just like,
I don't need them shaped like anything. I just want them on the cracker.
Oh, I would put like the frosting bag nozzles on there so you could get different decorations.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just not fancy.
Little star shapes.
But if you did this right and you had one robot, I mean, one 3D printer doing the cheese and another doing the robotic pretzels, you go You could make that little log cabin made of cheese and pretzels.
But if it made that noise repetitively, I would have to leave.
Oh, I would be, I would just sit there and make the noise for the machine.
This thing's cutting the cheese.
And it's also, like, it's not high quality cheese. I don't know. It doesn't sound processed cheese.
This is
not,
like, reprocessed.
This is like cheese food. It's not like, you know.
It's already been processed once, and now we're reprocessing
it. And then I have issue with like the Velveeta cheese sitting coming out. Here? Yeah, no Velveeta. Well, if you're going to, you know, Velveeta, you could just whittle. Because it's like a block, and you just get a knife, and you just whittle
it. You can't whittle Velveeta. It's too jiggly.
It's like pliable. It's pliable, rather.
I guess like
actually,
Play-Doh.
You know what? You wouldn't need a 3D printer. Take some Velveeta, kind of just make a shape, and then eat it.
I would not eat Velveeta. That's not cheese. You stop. It's not cheese. It's just disgusting. I'm sorry, Velveeta. I'm sure they're listening. The Velveeta maker people craft. They make Velveeta. I don't know, but it's disgusting.
Yeah.
It is just a gross thing. That
shouldn't I don't even so want to think about what chemicals are in there
it's
either.
It's like gelatinous cheese food.
Cheese food.
No, and everything you. That's gelatinous comes from horse hooves, right?
I don't.
Kraft announces their first cheese simulator.
I don't want simulated cheese.
Simulated cheese. That should be the tagline for this show.
Right. Simulated cheese.
Craig, who's in the chat room? Who's watching us live on Facebook? We're going to take a left
turn.
This
is one of those nights where I'm not seeing the chat room dynamically change, but I had to refresh. Okay. So I see John Miller, Clinton Alvord, Cynthia Fry, Tim Elliott, and myself.
Mike Wills.
I'm still scrolling through. Donna Tomasi's here.
She's right beside me.
And I think that's about it.
Is there an awards show or something tonight? Viewership seems a little low.
They found out I was here. And they were like,
it's just normal.
We have to bail now. We don't want that.
Well, you know, it helps when you do a share on Facebook that you have more than 10 people to share with. And they know how to use the internet.
I don't know very many people at all.
Right.
I'm an enigma.
Wrapped in a taco.
Oh, I love tacos.
Covered with cheese.
Covered with cheese. No, I want real grated cheddar cheese or fresh cheese or something, but no, I don't want any Velveeta on my taco.
No. Oh, Velveeta taco. That's gross.
I just searched for Velveeta in Google, and some of the suggestions was like, is Velveeta cheese?
Hey, ask Google. Okay, Google, is Velveeta really cheese?
Here, let's see. Hold on.
He's gonna do it.
Okay, Google, is Velveeta really cheese?
According to Organic Authority, the official list of Velveeta ingredients is as follows: milk, water, whey, milk protein concentrate, milk fat, whey protein concentrate, sodium phosphate, contains 2% or less of salt, calcium phosphate.
I didn't ask for the ingredients.
I know, right?
But there is milk.
Okay, Google,
actual milk products there. In there.
Yep.
There's some milk in there. All right. So
that's like Bill Cosby's routine about cake being food. There's wheat in cake. Okay, let's thank our Patreon patrons. Thank you very much for you because you help keep this show running. You help finance it with the aforementioned.
I think you're skipping ahead a little bit, but okay.
What? No.
Yes, you
we did the shout out to the chat room.
There's one more Hacks and Strange Stories.
There is. Well, then, okay. Well, let's thank the patrons and come back and give them a bonus Hacks and Strange Stories. Yes, there is. Kyle Nishioka, Chris MC, Nick St. Gabriel, John Noble, thank you very much. Mike Wills, Alexis Duran, a.k.a. AD Dude, Amy Bowen, who was also here last July,
a.k.a. the Deadpan Ambassador.
Is that her AKA?
That is.
I think everybody on the show needs an AKA. What do you think, Craig?
Oh, that's right. Amy? Yeah, that's right.
After the birthday list last week, I think 8 out of 10 people had an AKA, and some people had 2.
Yeah.
And they're just getting greedy.
Yeah, they take all the AKAs.
I can only help you with the deadpan people.
Brad P. from NJ, who's not from NJ anymore. Steve Therian. Ben Vaughn. Ben Vaughn also has an AKA, and I think it's Ben Vaughn.
That's right.
It's true. He spells it Benvon. That was his chat room handle for a long time. Avner Braverman, thank you all the way from Israel.
With a cool name like that, you don't need an AKA. That's an awesome name.
Braverman. Sounds like you should have been in a Mel Gibson movie.
Very fierce. Like it.
Saturday Morning Media, AKA Grant Pachoco, Dennis Patnod, and Leon. Thank you, Leon, and everybody else for your patronage. You help keep this going, and you get special content. that we record right after this show and release it before the regular content comes out. So I know it's all mixed up.
And what are we talking about on that show?
Anything we want.
No, scroll down just a little bit.
On the Patreon show, we will talk about Iron Fist and Logan. Okay, that's what it says in the script. So if you want to hear our... apparently it's going to be mostly Craig, because I haven't seen either one of those, but...
Where it goes from there.
Have you seen him? Nope. Okay, we got a lot of head shaking over here.
Okay,
it's on my
maybe
list
we'll
of
change
do.
It up then. I don't know. We'll see.
We may talk about Iron Fist and Logan. Join us. Right. It might be a short show. But thank you for as little as a dollar a show, you can contribute. Go over to patreon.com/technoramapodcast, or you can find the link on our site at chuckchat.com/technorama. Thank you. That's the thank you song. I just like this rocking out Imperial theme.
I'm wearing a Star Wars shirt.
Hey, awesome. See, you're on a nerd podcast, you got to wear nerdy clothes. I'm wearing...
Yeah, because it takes a nerd podcast.
That's no moon!
I need a nerd podcast to wear nerdy clothes ever.
I buy shirts just to wear on camera.
I had to buy more dresser space just for all my Woot shirts.
I got a rock.
What?
He's back to his Charlie Brown thing.
Oh.
No, actually, hold on. The shirt I have on is the...
Yeah.
Find X.
A Sulfur X? Oh, Find X. There it is.
Because Find X, and see if you can see it.
There it is.
Find X.
Put your clothes back on.
Oh, excuse me.
Not that kind of show.
The family show. Yeah.
Right. Wait. We missed Fat Tuesday. Throw him some beads.
Not funny.
Wow. Okay. I just got a blast from the past from Facebook. Someone I knew in like 1984. Okay.
I was just a child.
weren't we all?
Hey, by the way, John Miller Jr. says Velveeta is cheese jello.
Cheese jello.
Horse hooves. That's what I said.
Pretty much.
Well, on this show, we like Legos, and apparently I jumped over a story about Legos.
It's better than jumping on a Lego.
Oh,
yeah. I agree.
Legos and Jacks, the best gifts you can give your nieces and nephews.
Is this the story about the Legos you can wear?
No, this is about Lego tape.
Close. Yeah.
Well, okay, you could wear it. You could wear it.
Like, I was reading about this.
Oh, do you want another story? Go for it. I mean, you did such a wonderful job with...
I do know how to read. I'm good at that.
I'll even make the font a little larger for you. Make it easier.
You saw me take off my glasses, and they were squishing my head with the headphones.
I know. Mine do that, too.
That's all right. I'm not actually blind or anything, so it's good. Okay. Are plain old Lego bricks going to be ruined for you forever now that you've seen this flexible, cuttable, reusable Lego-compatible adhesive tape? Nimunu Loops. I didn't know that was the name. Nimunu. I like the way I say it. A crowdfunded creation that comes in rolls, so you can stick it onto all kinds of surfaces, including verticals and diagonals, and then use them as a base for your creations, as shown in the product's promo video. That means you can build gravity-defying structures and cities that practically double back on themselves in the style of the movie Inception. That's a bit of a stretch. I'm just going to say...
Some kid's going to make an Inception city.
I know when the first time I saw this, I have a friend who has a lot of Legos. He's quite a Lego connoisseur, if you will. And I was immediately like, you know, I had to tag him on Facebook. I was like, all the Legos, build all the things. I was super excited about it. So,
would he be a connoisseur or aficionado?
I don't know. He just likes
Legos. I think connoisseurs eat stuff and drink stuff.
Is it? I don't know.
Don't eat Legos, kids. It's not what we're condoning here.
Okay.
This is revolution.
Are you being pedantic?
Always. Yes.
Okay. So, I'm going to go. Devised by South Africa-based designers Anine Kirsten and Max Basler, Nimunu Loops starts at just $11 plus shipping for two rolls, or $50 for 10 rolls. And I'd be interested in knowing how much comes in a roll.
Yeah.
Available in red, blue, gray, and green. Oh, they have green. Now I want some. Not only can you cut it to size.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. All right.
I was going to say, why hasn't Lego made these before?
This is revolutionary. This is probably the biggest thing to hit Lego since, in a long time. I can't think of the last revolutionary thing, but this takes it to another dimension. This allows you to do different things. You got to be careful, though, because as the tape can curve over surfaces, the Lego is still a fixed brick. You might not get full contact.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
With all your bricks.
You mean a brick
I'm,
short?
Look, I'm watching the video. I'm very mesmerized.
This animated loop is really drawing us in.
Like I'm visualizing, you know, Lego, you know, Lego chokers, Lego crowns. I just want to wear all of the Legos. I don't know why.
Lego crown.
Lego bracelet. I have Lego earrings and a Lego keychain. I might like Legos. I guess I do. I like Legos.
If you stuck on a flat surface, it would work great. That's pretty cool. You could put Legos on the ceiling, build your whole city upside down, like an Inception kind of thing.
Well, and because I was thinking, because for Christmas, I did get the Lego, I got the Lego set for Christmas, the one with Han Solo and Carbonite, right? And I was thinking I could just put him like right on the ceiling over my bed and have Han Solo with the tape.
Not creepy.
Yeah, it would bring me joy. I'm not really concerned about anybody else. I just tape Han Solo on my ceiling. Okay, so am I still reading?
Sure.
I'm going to read this. People are clearly excited about the innovation, obliterating the original Indiegogo funding of $8,000 to raise $743,000 and counting with a full month left on the campaign.
Sheepers, creepers.
It'll be interesting to see what Lego artists do. Yeah, that's very true. And I'm wondering how much Lego brand was actually involved, if at all, or if they, because they're called Nemunu Loops, right? So they're not called Lego brand. So is Lego okay with this? Like, I'm kind of curious, you know?
Well, I mean, they're just the little pegs. I mean, I think Legos are simple enough where, unless it's one of the properties that they license, like Marvel or something like that, I can imagine there's not a whole lot you can really...
Kind of like software and licensing APIs. Lego interface.
Overall, isn't it going to bring Lego more business? Because people are going to buy the tape and then they're going to want more Legos to stick on it. So, I mean,
I don't think it's
going to
hurt Lego.
It's not going to hurt them, yeah.
No.
But it's like, I think it's almost in that category where all cars, you know, have four wheels and, you know, kind of thing.
Not
it's like
cars.
You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know how.
Now who's being pedantic?
Whatever.
We win.
Yeah. Whatever. Okay. You get the idea.
Shall we move along?
Yes, let's do.
Okay. Next up at the Geek Library is Jedi with a GoPro, short video that is interesting, I will say. I watched it, and I also watched some of the behind the scenes video as well. Craig, did you see this?
I did, because I put it in the show notes.
Well, I didn't know. Sometimes we put show notes in here that's stuff we don't watch.
Well, it was actually, at first, I saw it on Reddit or something. It was an animated GIF. I was like, okay, let's go look for the video. I found the video and watched it, and I was like, it's actually pretty well done. You know, where he's fighting the stormtroopers, and then he's...
Yep.
Whoever's doing Darth Vader, I think, did a great job, you know, doing the fighting part. So yeah, it was fun to watch. Poor Jedi.
The guy who did the Darth Vader has actually done other acting work, and is probably my most recognizable part. If you're watching behind the scenes thing, he's done the he was the Wookiee when what was it on Jimmy Kimmel when Han Solo and Chewbacca were reconciling.
Yes,
he was Chewbacca in that video. Yeah, the CG work is pretty good. When the TIE fighter gets up in the air, though, it's not casting a shadow at all. That was my biggest beef. The stormtroopers are casting a shadow. The Rocky lifts up to cast a shadow. But this TIE fighter is just going nowhere. Kind of weird.
I did like how he threw the boulder and it went into the TIE fighter, and the TIE fighters are flipping around.
If you watch the behind-the-scenes thing, though, he's just standing out there in his Jedi robe going, I'm picking up this rock and I'm going to throw it. He's kind of narrating, which is all overdubbed later with music and sound effects. But it's really funny how he's just fighting nobody.
I didn't watch that after. I had to go check that one out. I didn't see that part of it.
It was actually longer than the video itself, about 4 minutes. Good effects.
This looks really rad. I mean, I've never seen this, but it's looking pretty rad so far.
It's like a first-person shooter version of a Jedi, and then, of course, he gets in a battle with Darth Vader.
Well,
I'm not
you see
spoil
the Jedi putting
you.
A GoPro on a headband, and then he starts going, doing his, you know, Jedi thing. So it's kind of neat.
Yeah, the visual effects, like I said, are pretty decent, except my beef with the TIE fighter not having any shadow.
I did like how he threw the force at Vader to push him. And his cape flipped.
Wait till you see
it.
How they did that. Yeah, so when Vader shows up, the Jedi casts his hand out, and and Vader's cape kind of flaps in the wind. It was a really low-tech effect on that point.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. You know, Vader is standing his ground and the cape just moves. And that's
yeah.
Pretty cool.
But he goes into the challenges he had because the there's a bit of fisheye lens going on with his GoPro. And the visual effects on that was kind of tricky because that's not normally how you do visual effects. It's not fisheye like that.
You have to curve it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to curve it and all that kind
of
stuff.
So he gets
yeah.
into some of the technical details as well. There's points where all you see is a lightsaber sticking out as he's walking, and it kind of feels like you're playing Doom or something really poorly.
Doom. Jedi Doom.
What? The cape flapping in the breeze. Anyway, not a very appealing thing for our audio listeners only.
Why did he just stick his hand out? Like, what was that for?
He was trying to blast him away like he did with the stormtroopers.
Oh,
like, push him with the force.
Yeah,
like a force
that's not
push.
Not work with Darth Vader. Yeah.
Of course it's not. But just to watch the cape flap in the breeze was fun.
That was funny.
I'm going to have to watch that even closer next time now that I know how it was done. So that's fun. Go check it out. It's in our show notes. If you click on Jedi with a GoPro, is that what it's actually called on YouTube? I didn't just
That's
check.
What it said.
Okay,
yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. Search for that as well. And our last is a picture of how to catch an autonomous car.
I wait. Yeah, I saw this picture and I was like, we've got to at least mention this. I thought it was funny. So there's how do I catch an autonomous car? There's like an empty parking lot with one car in it.
Yeah.
And they drew a chalk line around it.
Well, the chalk line is a solid line. And right outside the solid line is a dashed line.
Yeah.
So the car can't pass and it can't turn right. It can't turn left. And it's just trapped in this circle.
It's like Roomba walls.
Right.
It's like a little Roomba and you can't. Yeah.
Because all the cameras are going, oh, I'll just as soon as I see. Well, I'll never see that.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. Click through it. Thank you, Craig, for sharing that. And with that, wow. This went fast. Our question of the week is, what is your EDC?
What's in your EDC?
What's in your EDC?
Do you know what EDC is?
Is that the electric daisy?
No.
Okay, I looked for EDC on Google, and that's all I could come up with.
What? Are you serious?
Over and over.
No. Everyday carry. What do you carry around with you every day?
Every day.
Yeah, like in my backpack, I've got a few things. I carry my little Swiss Army knife, you know, in my pocket.
Except on the airplane.
I don't carry it on the plane. Things like that. What's important when you go? What's your everyday carry?
Okay, that's a good question. CJ, are you going to play on Facebook?
I'm so boring because I'm very minimalistic. I don't even like I have a story. So, and I was actually telling this story to my girlfriend last night about how I don't like to carry a large purse because there was one point where I was carrying my purse and I was just like so sick of how heavy it was. Mm-hmm. So I emptied it out and counted the number of lipsticks and lip glosses in my purse. And I had 28. Different lip glosses and or lipsticks. So
how many did you use?
I use them all. They're all worth it. Shut up.
Okay.
So anyway.
Okay, fine.
So I minimize. I carry a very, very tiny purse. And so I have like all I have in it is my driver's license, my debit card, my phone, and a couple of chapsticks and lipsticks.
Mm-hmm.
Just a couple.
A couple.
I think that I like cleaned it out yesterday. So right now there are literally only three.
18 pair of sunglasses. Shut up.
There's three. There are three lip products in my bag, and I have my phone with me. And if I'm traveling, I have a charger, but like a mobile charger. But for the most part, I just have my phone and my chapstick.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm very minimalistic.
Yeah. See, I've got in my backpack. I do carry a battery, a spare battery.
A battery for what?
Anything. It's a.
One of those USB battery pack chargers.
It's 20,000 milliamp, so I can I can charge my Chromebook, my phone, my camera, and really anything. So I carry a camera, carry my phone. I always carry a pen, and I've got one of those little right here.
So how often do you use that little battery pack deal?
Normally not too often, but it does keep a charge for quite a long time. So
yeah.
If I spend the time to charge it, I mean, it could be months. I still got a good charge.
That's what I noticed too. And I bought it about the time my iPhone 5 was starting to have battery issues. But now that I got the iPhone 6, I don't think I've pulled that out once in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm. No, my iPhone 7, the battery seems to last pretty good during the day. If I don't use it much, you know, like I'm just getting some notifications while I'm working or something, you know, I'm not really checking. I can get through the probably a day and a half if I really wanted to. But I do have, I've been a few times when my Chromebook was a little low, so I hooked up the battery pack and with a USB-C charger or a cable rather, because it'll do USB-C. I bought this battery because it would fast charge my last Android phone, and it worked just great. So I don't know how often I use it, but I use it from time to time.
Okay. Because I just haven't used mine in a long time, and I was wondering if it's still even worth it. Maybe I should. I don't know. It's so heavy that I don't want it in my backpack. I'm trying to downsize whatever I'm carrying with me on a business trip.
Get rid of some of the lipsticks that you're carrying around. That's my hand. You want to make things lighter?
I'm putting that on the list. Okay. Yeah. I don't know how much value I'm going to get out of that tip.
I do carry a pen and my field notes.
I carry a pen when I remember to. I mean, I try to keep a pen in.
A couple of pens, maybe even a Sharpie or two.
And my son's inhaler. My son has asthma, so I'll have his inhaler on me.
I do have two presentation remote controls because I thought one was dead, and I went out and bought a cheapo one while I was on a business trip.
You could have charged it. You could have charged it with your battery.
The old one came back to life, so now I have two. I have a green laser and a red laser, so the cats love it.
Well, we were speaking of pens. My little Swiss Army knife, it does have a pen built into it. So I have a pen everywhere I go. I'm not a germ freak, but I'm going to tell you something. When I go to like the bank or someplace like that, and they're like, they throw me a pen to sign a receipt or something, I'm like, who has been holding this pen?
I'm going to tell you guys this. You're going to be jealous already. So I just, in January, I went on the Star Trek cruise, the inaugural Star Trek cruise.
I'm jealous.
Who's on it?
William Shatner, Denise Crosby, Marina Sirtis, John DeLancey, James Darren. DeLancey? Oh, gosh. Terry Farrell. I did yoga on the pool deck with Terry Farrell. She was leading yoga. That was
I'm jealous.
I had Denise Crosby. When I first ran into her, she was trying to get into the medical area. And I didn't know really. I just saw this woman banging on this door, and I'm like, "Do you need some help?" And she turns around, and she's like, "Well, I'm just afraid the ship's going to take off, and I'm going to get sick." And I was like, "Oh!" And in my mind, I'm thinking, "Denise Crosby, Denise Crosby, Denise Crosby, Denise Crosby." And I'm like, "Okay." So we go down the hallway, and I'm like trying to find. I'm like grabbing other people on the ship. I'm like, "Do you have Dramamine? My friend here needs some Dramamine."
That's what you thought you said, but it came out as, "I can do have stuff."
There is a part where this gets about hand sanitizer, but first I have to say the Denise Crosby thing. So I kept running into her on the ship later on, and at one point I stopped her. She like came by, she's like, "Hey, how's it going?" And I was like, "Are you stalking me?" And she's like, "What are you gonna do, call ship security?" She's like, "I am ship security." That was a great Denise Crosby joke. But across the whole ship, like every room, every elevator, I hated that it took up so much space, but in every elevator there was hand sanitizer, and it smelled like vanilla almond or something. So like all the time, my hands, I kept like walking around the ship going, because every time I saw one, I would use it. Like every time, because there was like all these people touching everything. And I kept like, why do my hands smell like baked goods? Everything smells like baked goods. And it took me for like 3 days before I realized it was the hand sanitizer. But the thing
is, have you been fondling the donuts
and the waffle cones?
but... The whole thing was like every time I walked by one, even if I had just done it like 2 seconds prior, I sanitized. And I came home and I'm in like a member of the Star Trek cruise like Facebook group, and everybody's like reporting how ill they were. They got like the cruise crud or whatever. They got so sick. I didn't even get a sneeze, not even a cough, nothing. And I attributed it to the fact that I like slathered myself in almond scented sanitizer the entire time I was
like
on that boat.
Like it was suntan lotion. Yes. I'm going out on a cruise.
That's right. So I'm all about the I'm a huge fan for the sanitizer, especially when you're going to be touching things that other people have like everywhere, all over. I hate like railings and escalator things, and being a klutz like I am, I have to hold on all the time. And so I sanitize often. I'm very sanitary.
Yeah, that's what I feel like at Dragon Con. I feel like I got to take a bath. And hand sanitizer. Right.
Sometimes. Well, that's just because we're rooming together.
Hey, we weren't supposed to talk about that on the show.
It's not the only time of the year we room together, Craig.
Hey.
Oh, and I forgot to mention Chase Masterson, who's like my favorite, and Max Grinchek.
When was this?
January.
And you didn't call us?
Like, I posted it all over Facebook. If you don't follow me closely, then that's your loss. I don't know how to tell you.
You're I just right. randomly pop up and you're like on playground equipment with your kids doing videos.
Yeah, I do that too. I never stop moving. I think that's pretty much the thing.
Is there another one next year?
There is. There's two of them because it was so popular. But the captain is not William Shatner next year. It's actually George Takei. But
I most you were going to say it was Captain Steubing.
I'm fine with that. Steubing. That's awesome.
The love boat.
Kevin MacLeod, you're not Patrick Stewart, are you?
Not even close. Don't even go. That's not okay. So this is not okay. Yeah, it was
next
amazing.
Year, January?
It's in January, yeah.
Two, and there's two of them.
Back like, to back, yeah.
Not like an Atlantic one and a Pacific. Where was it? Where did you go?
Cozumel and Nassau, Bahamas.
5 day?
It was a week.
A week?
Mm-hmm.
They check. Cool. It's like back to back. They're chasing each other. So it's like Rafacon.
Well, I think they have to come back because some of the cast members are. Well, George Takei's on both cruises, so they will come back.
Bye.
They're like literally going to disembark and then put the new people on and then disembark.
So on a ship, I mean, I know there's a lot of people, but for that kind of cruise, did you really get a chance to meet? I know you said you met Maria Sirtis, right?
Oh yeah, Marina Sirtis was sitting in a. Yeah, they're walking all over the ship. We're in the elevators with them, and all. I mean, it was just like they were just hanging out with us, and they were. It was very intimate, like the whole setting, like everything was close. And I went on the Klingon pub crawl with Chancellor Gowron, right? And so
sweet,
yeah. So and I have. You guys, did I mention? I think I mentioned my website last time I was here with my naked Justin Bieber doll. Do you guys remember that? If you go to twinklergirl.com, you can see all naked Justin Bieber's adventures. And he's like, it's a doll. It's a naked Justin Bieber doll. And I took him on the cruise. And so the Klingon pub crawl was like 20 minutes. It was an hour long pub crawl. So there were three bars. Each one's 20 minutes. You drink as much as you can and then walk to the next bar. Drink as much as you can.
Oh, boy.
Drink to the next bar. Yeah, because they just have all these drinks out on the counter. And we're with Chancellor Gowron, right?
By the end of the night, you're speaking Klingon.
But it's like in 1 hour. Well, that's what's funny about it. So you just imagine this in real life if you're doing a pub crawl. You're with the Klingon, right? And you drink, and then you're walking to the next bar, and everyone you walk past, that's all we're doing is yelling, kabla, kabla, kabla.
Well, was he in costume?
Oh, yeah. He was full. I have photos and everything. So, yeah.
That's diehard.
So we would drink, and then he would take photos, and then we would go to the next bar. But what's brilliant about it is everybody on the ship's a Star Trek fan, right? So as we're yelling, kabla, kabla, they're all yelling it back at us as we wander through the ship. In real life, can you just imagine, like, if people were walking down the street yelling kapla, people are like, what's going on
at Dragon Con?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna say that's Dragon Con.
You have to be in the right area.
Yes.
So we get to the last bar and he's like, doesn't anyone want a picture with Chancellor Gowron? And I'm like, well, I have this weird doll. And he was like, I love your weird doll, give me your weird doll. And so I hand him my naked Justin Bieber doll, and so I got pictures of Chancellor Gowron with my naked Justin Bieber doll, and he's smiling and looking at me like, you are, and all the crowd, like, we're all drunk at this point because we just downed like as many drinks as possible in like 60 minutes worth of time. And there, it was an amazing moment in my life, and I have lots of photos to commemorate.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing.
Yes.
I think, Donna, you were just saying this week that we need to go on another cruise soon. So we may have to
take the naked Justin Bieber with you.
It's very worth it. Nobody can take naked Justin Bieber. He's mine.
No,
I don't want the real
one. The worm
one.
Guy, Craig. The worm guy from Men in Black.
Yeah. He's here, isn't he? Or did you take him home?
He's up there on the shelf next to Frank.
Is he like your Flat Stanley, your gnome, your travel
Well, he had some photo adventures at DragonCon a few years back. Yeah, you know, we've got him in he was wearing a washcloth like a towel, like he just stepped out of the shower.
That's right.
He was waiting at the bus stop.
He was sponsored by Old Spice.
Was he on a horse?
Yeah.
I'm on a horse.
No, but he did have his own sign and microphone during our live show. So he has some good adventures. Thank you for sticking with us and watching this nonsense.
He did have a Jane hat for a while.
He did have a little Jane hat. That's right. Somebody had one of those little keychain sized ones and we put it on him. He had quite the adventures. We'll have to take him somewhere else. He's in a little rough shape, though. That vinyl exterior doesn't age well.
taking got sunburns.
He's having some epidermal problems.
A little he's moisturizer, he'll be all right.
I don't have any alien dermatology degree, so can't help him there. Might be a duct tape thing. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you giving us your support and sticking with us. If you want to get a hold of us, well, you can do what it says on the bottom of the screen there. Share, like, or subscribe to this video, depending on where you're watching it. Get in touch with us on the listener line, 707-530-2428, 737-530-CHAT, or email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. We will be putting out the question of the week on, I think my alert goes off on Wednesday, but I can't remember because I've got so many alerts that do different things because I can't remember anything. Thank you for computers to tell me when to do specific things. Thank you, CJ, for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's been great.
Been
so
a lot
glad
of fun.
I got out here.
Hope to see you more often. I know it is a bit of a trek.
I'll put a link to your website in the show notes.
Do that, yes.
Thank you, Craig. It's been a hoot as always.
You're welcome. Happy to hoot.
Is that where a hoot sweet comes from?
Yeah.
That was a sweet hoot you had there.
Thank you for the people on Facebook for watching along with all this nonsense and shenanigans. I noticed that when we look at the statistics later, it says you've had 243 views, but the average viewing duration is only about 45 seconds. may have been an enjoyable 45 seconds for you two. Maybe you can have your doctor look at that so it lasts longer. I'm just saying. Attention
it
span
lasts more than 4 hours.
Is a yeah, if the
then
podcast lasts longer than 4 hours, you're in trouble. Till next time.
The podcast, no.
Give me a binary high five, Craig.
101.
Get away from me, boys. You bother me.